Welcome back, everybody. This is Barbell Buddha Rediscovered. It's Brooks here. I'm coming to you live from I'm coming to you in your earbuds from Fairy Hill, Portland Parish, Jamaica. And today on the show, Chris is going to talk about his first ever Tony Robbins experience, how to pick up on patterns, and what to do about them once we find them. This is episode 94. Let's do this.
About music when it hits you. You feel okay. Whoa, whoa, I say one good thing about music when it hits you.
You feel okay.
Hit me with music. Yeah. Hit me with music now. This is
Trench Town Rock.
Don't watch that.
Trench Town Rock.
Big fish or sprat now.
Trench Town Rock.
You reap what you sow.
Trench Town Rock.
And only Judge, I know.
Trench Town Rock.
I'll never turn my back.
Trench Town Rock.
I'd give the summer a try.
Trench Town Rock.
I'd never let the children cry.
Trench Town Rock.
Oh, you got to tell Judge why.
Ruben.
It's Kingston 12.
Ruben.
It's Kingston 12.
Ruben.
It's Kingston 12 now.
Ruben.
It's Kingston 12.
No, why you come tell I'm so?
Oh, no.
Hard to get a show off to a better start than that. Bob Marley, Trench Town Rock, which if you go back and listen to any of Bob Marley's stuff, especially the stuff with the Wailers, older stuff, rawer stuff, stuff that is not repeated ad nauseum in like fraternity parties and shit, and like bad beach restaurants where they sell like shitty shrimp that's overpriced to tourists and everything like that. If you go back and just investigate and listen with new ears to the ridiculously soulful Bob Marley, you'll really appreciate it. And if I can do anything to help do that, if that's all I contribute to in this podcast, and I have one.
By now in the show, I can guess that you can pick up on a few things. If you can do anything on this show, you know the difference, first of all, between Chris's and I voice. I'm sure it didn't take you long to figure that out. We sound different, which is why I left his voice there in the end. You notice he said the title of the song. So for all of you people that were like, oh, Brooks chose a Bob Marley song today because he's hanging out in Jamaica, wrong. Chris Moore teed me up perfectly, because that leads me to the second thing that you should know by now, is that I do not peek ahead. I don't look ahead to see what the next show is going to be about. I do the shows when I can. I put them out. And then if I need to, I put it down. And I had to put it down for the last couple of weeks. Why? Because I had to prep for this awesome trip. Here I am. Fairy Hill, Portland Parish in Jamaica, staying at Patraciad Museum and Art House in yet another red room. I'm sitting in a wicker chair. I got my buddy Mike the Schwartz's gear. I sound great, by the way. If you're like, Brooks, your audio quality sounds just a little bit better. What's up with that? Did you go even more pro? First of all, yes. Second of all, my boy Mike the Schwartz, he knows what to do. And hey, if you hear some island sounds, you hear some breeze, you hear some goats. There's goats out here, y'all. I'm out on lot one in Fairy Hill, and there's goats. And I did not pick this song, and yet Chris sets me up perfectly. I've stopped trying to explain the synchronicities long ago to myself. These little synchronicities would pop up, freak me out a little bit, but I've learned to just lean in. Which is perfect to start this show off, because this is about picking up patterns. And I'm going to tell you just a little story to kick things off, because I think this is going to prime what Chris has prepared for us today very, very well. So this is 15 years removed from my first trip to this island in Jamaica with my friend Sam. We got into a bunch of shenanigans that became a story that I would tell at bars, having fun, trying to get some laughs, impress some girls or whatever. And then at a men's retreat in Colorado in 2020, it became a one-man performance inspired by a few people. Chris was definitely one of them. The ability to get up, tell a story, get some laughs, and get on out of there. Use good music. And so The King Says Yes was born. And so, as you might have heard in the last couple of shows, I'm going all in on the storytelling thing. I am now helping produce podcasts, and we are teaching people how to tell great stories in compelling ways, just like Chris. I know. And I didn't plan on it, which is so great. Life has a way of doing that. And so I was like, man, we have this opportunity. Our calendar's filling up. We're going to record and film The King Says Yes Friday, September 29th in Wrenchroom, Virginia. We got to get some practice. Maybe we should get some B-roll for the special because I'm going to produce it like a documentary, but a comedic storytelling documentary. And so I'm like, oh, cool. We should go to Jamaica now. So I put the show on hold. We put all of our energy into getting ourselves to Jamaica, which included driving to Memphis, dropping off the dogs, having a long, long travel day from Memphis into Ferry Hill. I mean, I've traveled to Seoul, South Korea in less time from Memphis than it took me to get all the way to Ferry Hill. Oh, but was it worth it, dear listener? It sure was. And here we are in what could be considered, it just depends on how you look at it. This is a very simple, artistically done house made from the ruins of a previous house. And the owner, the legend that this man is, Roz Rod, of the Dub Traffickers Poetry Association. This man is an actually notariable poet, and I'm chilling in his house in Ferry Hill, and he's just all bringing the Irie vibes, the island vibes, totally welcoming, totally accommodating. And so we've been hanging out here for a couple of days, and now I thought, wow, this would be a great day to sit down with a buddy. I put him in my ears, hear Bob Marley. Oh my God, definitely doing this show today. Well, if there's one way to kick you out of patterns, it's the getting into homes that are and lifestyles that are very different than the ones you're used to. Hallie and I live a very simple life. We have very simple comforts. We like our couch. We like hot water. We don't even have a dishwasher. We chillin'. But when we're here, we wash our own clothes in a bucket. We shower with cold water. And it's complete bliss. And it's amazing what happens when you get yourself into new situations, finding a new layer of creativity. The Wi-Fi wasn't so good. Oh my God, how are we going to get our shows out? How are we going to get our stuff out? A couple of brainstorming sessions later, we've optimized our business to new levels. We've delegated new things. This is great. Kicking myself out of patterns has been great so far. And there's also been some patterns that have shook me up in ways that I don't really care for. Like, you know, people consistently asking you for money. You're not sure what services you're supposed to pay for, whether you're getting the fair price or if you're getting the tourist price. Even had an incident that scared me half to death. We dropped off Hallie and a new friend at the beach, a woman named Anita. And somebody approached us and asked us for money to get in, even though we knew that this is a part of the beach that you didn't have to pay a fee for. He seemed very agitated that we weren't willing to pay. And as we were walking away to go do some work, Mike and I noticed him looking over the ledge, and I had constructed this whole image in my mind that it was about to be a hostage type of situation. Brooks is going to have to call in the reinforcements. Fortunately, this wasn't the issue. Fortunately, everyone was safe, but there were moments where I had sent Mike to go check on him, and he's gone for a little longer than I feel comfortable, so I don't even think about it. I've now constructed the worst possible scenario in my mind. I'm chasing after them. Finally, I catch up with them. Everybody's all safe. Brooks can relax for the day. And so it's been back and forth, these moments of bliss and creation. We had this incredible moment where Mike and Hallie were playing their music on Roz Rod's huge speaker system. Roz comes up and starts doing some fresh poetry over the top of the vocals, over the top of the melodies and the music that Mike's put together, and it was just this complete bliss moment. So keep in mind as we go into this show that getting out of old patterns is not going to... There will be moments of bliss and thankfulness and lightness and ease, And there are also going to be moments that are going to really stretch you, really pull you, and make you feel very uncomfortable to notice. That sets up our first clip, where Chris is going to tell you about his first experience at a Tony Robbins event and what he learned. Take it away, buddy.
Right. I mentioned my state is good. That word alone right there triggers a very interesting memory for me from a couple months ago from this past summer. The homie CTP and I, you know CTP Cam from Barbell Shrugged, I went with him to Chicago. Yes, to see the Fame and Matters house. Yes, to see the Michael Jordan statue outside the United Center, which was dope and inspiring as hell, considering I was a childhood super fan of Michael Jordan and all. But also we went there for a third reason. That was to attend the thing. A seminar to provoke some inspiration, to provoke some thought, to jostle ourselves out of patterns, to provoke us into thinking different ways. What am I getting at here? I'm trying to sugarcoat the fact that we went to a fucking Tony Robbins conference, okay? Yes, yes, Tony fucking Robbins. Banana Hands, Awaken to Power then was the seminar. And it was pretty wild. Now, I didn't know what to expect, but in the long story short kind of way, I'll say it was very powerful and insightful and echoed with me for a couple months after in full force. And it was way more than I expected to get out of this thing. What did I expect? Okay. When you go to a Tony Robbins thing, you know you're going to get what? A lot of very interesting people. There's 8,000 people showing up to this thing. They all want to better their lives. They want to create businesses. They want to create bad habits. They want to get out of bad relationships. They want to do whatever it is they're going to do. But they're all very driven, and they're all welcomed by very ravenous, very dedicated volunteer staff. You get the full weight of that right when you walk through the front door. You see a lot of products, a lot of books, a lot of super green supplements and things that are designed to promise a lot of benefits, and that's all for another podcast I get. You walk in through the doors, you see 8,000 seats that slowly fill up with these people, and you see a stage with big, giant fucking screens, and yes, at times, remarkably bad soundtrack playing, like including fucking Let's Get the Party Started by Black Eyed Peas and that kind of thing. You know, anytime you hear Fergie playing at like fucking 5,000 decibels first thing in the morning, you know you're in for an intense experience. That's probably the most simple way to summarize this thing. Super intense. Super novel and provocative and weird and strange and invasive at times and very oddly stimulating. It's all designed to kick you out of a pattern. Like, these people show up, they're in patterns of thought, they're making decisions that aren't good. You come to this thing to kind of wake up a little bit, to consider other things you hadn't considered, to learn some tricks and hacks or whatever. That's what you can maybe expect, right? I guess there was a lot of that. There was a lot of like, change your state, change your life. A lot of like loud noises jostling, making you feel uncomfortable quickly, making you introduce yourself to people beside you and tell them things like, what do you want to achieve in your life? And what do you want to do? And what shall you make of yourself? What will you regret all this if you don't go for your dreams? And there's a lot of stimulation, right? There's all this stuff I really wouldn't have the time to get into on just one podcast, but I will get into one segment, right? One feature of this thing. That is very interesting because it also made me squirm like a motherfucker. It was so awkward. But anyway, here's Tony Robbins' voice booming through this blackened room with 8,000 people. And the conditions are, you're supposed to imagine a world where you didn't take action, where you didn't do what you wanted. So now you're here. What if 5 years down the road and 10 years down the road and 15 years down the road, you didn't take action? What if you didn't get out of the relationship that was bad? Or what if you didn't change your thought patterns and start that business and do whatever it is you know you need to be doing? What kind of world would that create for you? Think of the dread. Like, look at yourself in this imaginary mirror. At this time, the music's getting very intense and very booming. It's like Gladiator's type. Ah, there are fucking flames on the on the screens projecting. There's like this fire and brimstone feel. They are ratcheting up the intensity. I'm not really getting into that vibe, but what I am perceiving around me is 8,000 people, or give or take, who are definitely getting in that vibe. One woman is crying next to me. One guy is shouting, "You're a fucking loser. Why didn't you do what you thought you would do?" Like, he's shouting at himself, like from the future. It's all very intense to observe. Other person is crying like, "I should have did the thing. I should have said I loved her or him." You know, you can imagine what all this is like. I'm sitting around. And one way of describing this is that I wish I could just sort of bamf. I wish I could slide or transition to a vapor and just sort of float out of the room to avoid these extreme introversion awkwardness I felt at just being subject to all this. It was so crazy, but also very effective, because when you're hit with so much novel stimuli all at once, you can't help but be affected. So after this event and the days, weeks, and months after, I could feel the effect of hearing everybody shouting this stuff, what they wanted and what they feared they would think if they didn't go after what they wanted. And you can't help, when you've experienced that, to pay closer attention to really what it is you want, what you want to achieve, what you want to learn, what you want to do, how you feel most days, and how you can change that state to better your odds of getting what you want out of life and all that. But the interesting thing, I imagine for a lot of the people in that room, and especially, I mean, I felt it, anytime you get a big surge, a big experience, something happens like that, a big thing, in a sea of otherwise non-interesting things, if something like that happens, you go on a vacation, you go on a trip, and getting experience like that, you get a big surge in intent, and you want to do things different ways, and you get a lot of kick out of that, but it starts to fade a little bit, right? Sometimes you have a big experience, and you think that's going to be enough to cause a big change in the way you do things, a permanent change. You're very excited, and the excitement fades, and you learned a bunch of stuff, but the learning alone wasn't enough. I talked about it a little bit last week. I think the starting point for this show, yes, I've started now. I think the starting point here is that if you want to have a better idea about how to make progress and create new patterns in your life and learn in a good way, I think you need to start seeing learning as less about accumulating knowledge and learning all you could learn and stacking shit in your brain like it was a hard drive or something. And you need to think more about discovering cool patterns, beneficial patterns, powerful patterns in your life. I think really all your mind is the echo chamber of thoughts. Either you have productive thoughts or patterns of thought, or you have negative patterns of thought, right? And ideally, you would increase the patterns of thought that are good by reading good shit and thinking good thoughts and meeting good people and having good training sessions and seeing success in your life and doing more things that are successful. If you do that, a lot of the good ideas will start resonating in your mind and it'll push you forward.
Sometimes when I'm listening to these clips, I feel like Chris is just sending some little angel notes. If you caught it, the Tony Robbins experience really highlighted questions that he had asked himself long before this episode, imagining 5 years, 10 years in the future. What happens if we don't break that pattern, don't take that action? What's going to happen? And him reflecting that back to me continually throughout the show has been such a catalyst and a push forward to me to actually take the action that I want to see for myself in this life, which is to live my life telling stories and helping people tell stories. The music side of things is a huge benefit to my life, seeing Hallie light up as a musician, and we're totally going for it. And it's taken several moments like the one Chris is describing, where I have the huge surge of intensity and like, I'm going to make this change. And then things happen. And that's where Chris is going to continue on in the show, is like, what happens when we land from one of these things? We go off into this novel environment, we get this huge surge, and then we're back where we started, where we came from. And sometimes things can slip. And so Chris is going to take us on a little journey to see, what are we going to do when things slip and we get back to that environment?
So let's just say you had your big experience. Tony Robbins came in and put his big banana hands all over your face and shook you out of whatever was limiting you. And then let's say that also on top of that, to keep the momentum from fading, you also did a really good job of asking yourself how you're going to pick up on better patterns and do the work to reinforce the good ones and let those echo stronger in your mind and all to create really a stronger pattern of thought that allows you to really grow in amazing ways. So you want to do all that, and sometimes still frustration. Again, at least I know I've experienced it in the past. Still, there's still some source of frustration. Why can't you get all the way through the negative patterns? Why can't you really make the progress you really think and believe you can? Well, that there's another thing to consider. At least I think when you leave. The experience, you go back to normal life, you gotta think there's like a social and environmental framework that you get embedded back into, right? You come home from work, or you go to work, or you go to the gym, or whatever, wherever you go, there are people around you and there are conditions around you, right? if you try to change a big thing all at once, you come back from your Tony Robbins seminar and you say, I've learned all this shit. And I have these experiences. You tell the stories and people react. They laugh. They go, it sounds a little woo with me. But your big storytelling response, your big change, elicits some change in them, right? There's a stasis. There's a homeostasis in the environment. And when you get so bold and you make big changes and you say, I'm going to do this now differently, people react to that with kind of the opposite energy. Like, whoa, okay, well, let me see what happens. I don't know if it will happen. You know, you get kind of a negative response to that. It kind of pushes back. And quickly what happens is your environment sort of settles you back out. You just go back to being whatever it is you were, because the friends you know are a certain kind of friend and they think a certain way. And you came back thinking a new way. And all of a sudden it kind of got worked back into the average. And your environment, let's say you want to lose weight. Well, your environment is still something that has excess food or people who don't train in it or places where you're encouraged to sit down all day and not be active. You know, if you come back into that environment, not much is going to change. You're going to quickly go back to a certain stasis, and it's not going to be what you experienced. And it's not going to allow you to reinforce positive patterns. I think what you have to do instead is sort of not go for the surge approach. You can't make any lasting change by making big, bold actions now. There are certain kinds of people who can do that and stick to it and have the drive and motivation to push through their environmental and social conditions, and they make the changes stick and they kind of displace everything with the might of their mindset, like the Arnold Schwarzeneggers of the world or the Steve Jobs of the world or whatever. For the rest of us, maybe we don't have the resilience to keep pushing on such a huge surging scale. So the better thing to do, I think, is if you can, first, you know, you change the conditions, you change the system in which you're embedded in, right? You get friends who, instead of talking shit or not believing what you're going to do, they will inspire and provoke you to do more of what you say and hold you accountable to what you say. They'll help you make positive changes. If you're in an environment where the conditions really aren't set up for you to be stronger or fit or whatever, you have to change those if you can. Now, I know sometimes you can't, so there's other things you can do. The biggest thing you can do, the most important thing I think you can do, that's one thing I try to do more, because I think it's the more I live, the more I think it's maybe the only thing that matters, and that is you really have to daily cultivate, for lack of a better word, a craftsman's attitude. And I would say that means two things. One, instead of surging all at once, hurry up and get it done, hurry up and make the change type of mentality, you have to do the opposite thing, which is small, dedicated, daily efforts, a daily practice of refinement and getting better and better. And really, let me reinforce the better and better part. A craftsman, above all, seeks to do things better every day for no other reason other than because it's the right thing to do, because it's what makes them feel great. I told you about those ways of picking up patterns. A craftsman wants to make a better thing, wants to create something good, wants to fix things, wants to take action because all on its own, it's the right thing to do. And just the act of getting better and better a little bit every day is more than enough to bring that kind of deep satisfaction. It's also more than enough to create a lasting, enduring change in your conditions. When people see you take that kind of attitude, when they see you show up to the gym, they see you show up to work doing everything in a measured, considerate pace, doing things with as much positive intent as possible, making things as good as they can possibly be, helping other people get involved, helping them push and see the beauty and making things better and better. When you get that kind of slow, dedicated daily rhythm in place, that's what will reinforce and build amazing patterns. That's what creates a powerful echo, one powerful enough in this case for other people to see and witness and be changed by it as well.
The first thing that I want to address from the clip that we just played was on Chris's emphasis again on the power of investing in good people and surrounding yourself with people that are going to reflect back at you the types of qualities that you'd like to see in the world. If you want to achieve, if you want to go out and do big things, the best way to do that is to surround yourself with people who, when you say that you want to do those big things, hold you accountable and reflect back to you the types of things that you're doing, not showing up for that. Not the people that want to, you know, poo-poo on your dreams and tell you that it's going to be really hard and that you should just do something a little easier, but instead people that are look at challenge as the point. And I'm fortunate to have found many people in the last year, 2 years in the Strong Coach in the Enlifted community. Strong Coach Mike Bledsoe, Enlifted Mark England. That's how I met my boy Dave, how I met Mike the Shorts, and what brought us together in this magical trip. when you start to surround yourself with those types of people, it's an amplifier. It's an accelerator. And you start to come to temperature around those people. That's a consistent theme with Chris's work. And the other was the craftsman consistency mentality. That's what we're going for. But, you know, sometimes we can't pick up on the patterns that are causing us to be inconsistent. So I bet Chris can give us a little more detail, just a little more emphasis on what exactly we can do. What's the best possible way to learn to find these patterns, Chris? I wonder.
That reminds me of like the best possible way to learn I know of. And I got this from the dear Warren Buffett. Basically, his strategy is not to read investment books or business books or shit, but really to read and observe and try to be mindful of everything it comes across. You'll read the Wall Street Journal. You'll read a book on finance. You'll also read the fucking pamphlet or the magazine in the back of your airplane seat. You know, you read that because it's there, and there might be a chunk of some wisdom there that if you digest it, if you see it, if you consider it, that it might add to a pattern. It might have nothing to do with business or training or whatever you want to learn about, but it might contribute to a pattern of thought that reassures you, that allows you to sort of get a sense of the big ideas that are true, what makes sense to you. I mentioned Warren Buffett. I mentioned another cool blog right here because it's something you should check out. If you haven't checked out brainpickings.com or .org, brainpickings, just search that. That's another good blog that's made the best example I can think about in terms of, Maria Popova, who runs that blog, thinks in terms of collecting and sort of cross-referencing ideas. That blog is so effective because you read something on a topic and she references where other authors have touched on that same topic, that same idea, and it resonates because when you read both, you can compare and contrast, you can see the deeper issue that sort of forms the deeper pattern.
Oh, okay, man. Yeah, that makes sense. And on a bigger scale, like when I'm looking, you know, I think about it with business. I think that's a great piece of advice. You know, you'll look for the larger patterns that you cross-reference against many different sources to see if there's something that seems to be tying them all together. I studied macroeconomics when I was in college, so I was trained to think in that way when it came to just understanding how GDP affects this and how demand affects that, and you're looking for these larger meta patterns that stand out in data and try to put it all together. So this is a good tip. And it's a great way to learn, but I still am not really sure what I can do to, what does that teach me about myself? How can I learn to find my patterns, the things that I need to break? That way I can do something else. I find myself getting stuck there from time to time. What do you think, bud?
If you could search for provocative experience like this Tony Robbins shit, and it works for a time, I think, and can, for a lot of people, can be very beneficial for sure. You can accumulate knowledge. You can reach out and look for the best things to learn. You can put them into practice and do all this stuff. But the problem with all that is, if you're looking to do the right thing in your life, sometimes that projection and reaching and forcing things and having these new experiences just adds to confusion. In my experience, that's all I can share. What has helped me more than anything, especially in the last couple of wild years I've had, is to first and foremost be still a little more often and learn that the only way to spot useful patterns is you have to look back on what you've learned, what you've done, the things you've made and the things you've considered and the mistakes you've made and successes you've experienced and all that. And you got to see what pops out at you. And by the way, the more you sit and the more you think about that, the more stuff will pop out. A few things specifically that have helped me. First and foremost, I've always asked myself in the last couple of years, what has always been fun to do? What brings creative relief? What, and the opposite, I guess, is true. What has always been a struggle uphill? What have I met with too much resistance? What has been not fun or a drudgery? If you look back, you can take stock and spot and have some confidence in what has always been fun. Like for me, at times I wanted to get more into like in college, I wanted to major in business for a while and computers. At that time I said, you know what? This doesn't feel right. What would feel right? What have I always loved? And it was at that point I looked to sports science as something that just felt right, because I'd always trained and always thought about, you know, how to get stronger, how to improve myself in that way. So it made sense to go for that thing. And at times when I doubted whether a podcast would work, what I should talk about, I always went back to, well, strength. And from strength, I can talk about other things. It's what makes sense to me. It's what is fun. It's what resonates with me. And it's what I think resonates with other people. So going to what is fun, going to what makes sense has always helped me. Another thing I've always asked myself is, what is it that I've always had to do, like, in order to feel right and to have peace of mind? And for the longest time now, it's always been to write something. Like, if I don't write something, even if it's a short little paragraph of text or a page of notes, if I don't write something, then I feel like no matter what else I did in that day, I feel like I didn't do the most important thing. And I feel that way about podcasting too. Like, if I don't sit down and do a podcast a week now because it's been such a rhythm the last couple of years, then I feel like something is missing. Like, I'm not, like, I haven't turned in my homework on time or something, right? So what is fun for you? What brings creative relief? What is it you feel like you have to do? Because if you feel like you have to do it and you go to it with intent and real dedication, then that's going to really cause a great effect in your life, right? I would say another good thing to consider is, of the days you've had where things went right, what's common between those days? The older I get, the more I realize that days I don't perform right, or my brain's not working right, or I'm in a pissy mood, or things just don't go my way, it's not that anything in the world was against me or the odds, the universe, whatever. Like, nothing was like contesting me or versus me. It was something I did. Like, it was days where I didn't get 8 hours of sleep. It was days where I didn't wake up on time enough to get my hour of reading in the morning and quiet time to myself and that cup of coffee and a little time to think and organize my thoughts and lay out for the day what I wanted to achieve. And on podcasts or whatever, maybe where I didn't do as well as I wanted to, those were definitely the days where I didn't quite put in all I could to prepare. In hindsight, it was easy to see that it was really nothing more than a broken ritual that caused that. Another thing I would want to say, something that's been really helpful to me, is when you hit bumps in the road, like when shit doesn't go well and you have self-doubts or some test pops up in your life, you can look at the things in your life that are sturdy and give you support, give you reassurance, and inspire you. And you can see the other things in your life that when you hit a big rocky moment, those things go shaky, those things cause stress, those things are tested in bad ways by that acute trauma or whatever's going on, right? And that's a great way of seeing the things in your life that you could easily prune away and the things that you could reinforce.
Those are all great points, buddy. Thank you. And to reflect it back to you, man, I completely agree. The thing that I go back to when I reflect back on what I've always gone back to is even as a kid, I loved to share things and to help people either feel like to learn something or to feel like they were included. Every time, from a kid, even all the way through college, university, working, that's why I got into coaching. If I could just connect with someone and explain things to them in a way that makes sense to them, it opens up new opportunities for them to make a change in their physiology, in their physique, make a change in their life, make more money, get in a good relationship. The more that I share, the more that I'm able to impact the world. And one way I've just continued to find the way that feels fun to share in the moment. For a decade of my life, it was coaching and getting up in front of a class and explaining to people and seeing them learn and have those breakthroughs. Now, I do the same thing in the form of podcasting and storytelling. And it's still me trying to help you, if you want the help, or just anyone, to make that connection in their brain, to be able to make that change, to be able to get that thing going. And if the only thing that I want to add to this is that, you know, the best way to do that is to put yourself in the position in order to do that. And because I have learned that going back into my home environment tends to keep me where I am, that's why we relocated to this dynamic new place, so we could get out of those old patterns, find new ones, find that stillness, find that silence, and use this as a time of reflection in order to make those big changes that we want to see in our life. And in Music Fit, and in my story, and in our and in all the performances that we're going to put on, similar to the Tony Robbins experience. I don't know if we'll be using any Fergie. I don't know if we'll get the licensing on that one. I'm not Tony Robbins, but we got plenty of music to play that we're very, very happy with, and we know we're going to change a lot of people. So, yeah, I mean, you know, point well taken, Chris. and yet another badass episode by you, delivering me exactly what I needed to hear right on time. Hopefully for the listener out there, they're hearing this at the right time too. I imagine you have at least one more thing to share, and you can close the show like only you can, huh, buddy? I'll tell you what, I'll hang around with you till the end of the episode, and we'll let Bobby play us out. I'll light up my joint, and you and I will close the show together. Take him away.
So, right, I've talked about a lot of things, right? Things you might experience, big, shocking, provocative things, things that will stir you up. A big trip, a big vacation, a big decision, a big shift in strategy, something you're going to change all at once. Not such a good strategy. It's better to sort of focus on ways you can pick up on better patterns. So I mentioned doing things you know you love, looking back and spotting what brings satisfaction, spotting what you always have felt you really needed to do, what has always been sure during tough times, and focusing on those things and cultivating those things and reinforcing those things. But I also talked about the weight of conditions, environmental and social, and how they can kind of suppress your urge to change things, and how really the way you can fight back against that is to change the conditions and really to focus on a different kind of attitude, and that's that craftsman's attitude. But the other thing I would say, maybe the most important strategy for making changes and changing conditions and changing patterns is to do nothing at all. That's right, to do nothing at all. I've been hitting at it and talking about it for a few weeks, and it's only reinforced now because I just wrapped up my second reading of Robert Persig's Zen and the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance. And really one of the big key things I drew out of that, I'm still missing a bunch because, fuck man, it's going to take me a long time and a lot of life to really appreciate all the lessons in there. But one thing I really drew out of that, it's a take-home point. It's also a challenge for myself and maybe a challenge for you, is really to actually spend way more time in stillness. One thing he brings out in that book, maybe it's more of a challenge than anything, he says that when people are confronted with stillness, with blankness, with stuckness, like if you want to do something, you're not sure what to do. You're trying to write something, you're trying to make something, and make a decision. You see a blinking cursor on an otherwise blank page, and nothing is occurring to you, no thoughts, no right thing. You can't really figure out what is right. Most people freak out in that situation, and rightly so. You don't know what to do, and you're uncomfortable in the stillness and stuckness. So what you do is project and reach, and you try to force things into place. That's something I talked about a few things on the show. And what happens is when you do that, you're only when you reach for the right thing to do or say all the time, you find that the more you do that, the more you don't get an intuitive feeling that you're doing the right thing, and you're still left with that feeling like something negative is at work, or you're not really making the best possible decision, right? And what the challenge is, what the truth is that a lot of people sit around for a long time trying to get more still, because in those moments where nothing is occurring to you, no preoccupation, no thought of the right thing to do, what you find is that in that blank part of your mind, at first it feels a little awkward, but then things will start occurring to you. If you have done some of the things I've said, like you are trying to get experience, but also you are learning all you can, and you're getting a rich, observant cross-section of things you're being exposed to. You're reading what you can, and you're looking for the positive patterns, and you're reinforcing those. So the echo you've got going on in your brain is a good one. If you've got that going on for you, and that is the base of your work, when you make time every day to sit, whether it's a part of your morning ritual or just something you do at the end of the day, something you do during your lunch break for even 30 minutes, 5 minutes, whatever. When you effectively find quiet and face a still mind and think about what the best thing to do is in that sort of context, what you find is some of the right thing to do starts occurring to you way more often, really without much thought and without a giant man with banana hands shaking and screaming at you. So you're not. So I think I can summarize that point along with some of the other points I made with this great passage. Let me say this is from A Calendar of Wisdom, which is the daily devotional that I read. Daily Thoughts to Nourish the Soul, written and selected from the World's Sacred Text by Leo Tolstoy. I've recommended several books on the show. This one, if you haven't got this already, if you haven't caught my previous recommendations on social media and stuff, get this, because I think there's nothing better to really you could possibly read on a daily basis to sort of set the right intent. So this is actually, speaking of breaking patterns, this is tomorrow's devotional, because I've sort of set the bad habit of reading today's devotional, then also getting a sneak peek of the next day's devotional. Tisk, tisk, I know. But in this case, it actually kind of summarizes some of the things I'd put up on my whiteboard and I've shared with you tonight. So I thought, why not finish and make myself sound smarter by using the words of a man who is by far 100 times smarter than me, you know. But it does say things in a nice, concise way, and I thought, what better way to close? So let me read this to you. It will peace out. So, the September 28th devotional, tomorrow's devotional. Most people act not according to their meditations and not according to their feelings, but as if hypnotized, based on some senseless repetition of patterns. And here a quote by Immanuel Kant. You should be brave enough to use your own intellect in life and in your education. Of course, you can't find that unless you are more likely to sit and think about what that intellect is. Quiet time. And to close, here we go. If among the many voices which speak in my soul, I could only recognize my soul's true voice, then I would never make mistakes and never do evil. This is why it's necessary to know yourself. If you see that you are not behaving according to your inner desires, but because of some outer influence, stop and consider whether what drives you is good or bad. There you have it. No matter what nonsense I share with you tonight, at least I wrapped up this show with the words of a truly wise man, Leo Tolstoy. Right, so that's all I've got tonight, folks. A half hour is plenty. I hope it does provoke some of the things I said, provoke some thought into thinking about how you can spot better patterns and spot problems in your conditions that are holding you back, and maybe a few pointers for how you can focus on what is good and just in your life and some ways to find more silence. I think if you take some of those tips to heart, like I certainly am working to do in my life daily, then it will do you a hell of a lot of benefit. And you won't ever really have to go see a Tony Robbins type thing, but if you do have the chance, I recommend it, because no matter what you have to think about Tony Robbins, and no matter how long the effect lasts, it'll certainly be worth your time, and it'll probably make some kind of lingering impact, I can promise you. So, without further ado, I'm getting out of here. Gonna have another margarita. Gonna fuck around, listen to tunes. Until next week, peace, love, namaste. Cheers, folks. Play me out, Bob, please. Play me out, like only you can. Come on!
Trash things ourselves. Got no stocks or no shelves. But let me tell you, behave yourselves. Trench down rock.